Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome in Jesus' name. Welcome to you visitors. A few of you just walked in the door a few minutes ago. Welcome. And I believe the Lord has laid a message on my heart that Brother Elmer shared just confirms the direction that I believe God is leading us in here this morning. So let's stand for a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the message here. Amen. Father, we worship you this morning. We thank you that you are so good. So good to your children. So good, Lord, to those who love you and serve you. But you're even good, Lord, to the unjust. And Father, we thank you this morning, God, that as we have this time together, Lord, give us grace to see your goodness, Lord, and the blessing of extending your goodness to a needy world around us. So, Father, I pray that you'd give me grace this morning to feed this congregation. I pray, Lord, that you would enable me, Father, to in clarity share your word. So, Father, thank you. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Okay, turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 26. Deuteronomy chapter 26. I'm just going to read a large portion of this scripture, and then I'll explain the heart of the message and the title. Of course, this was Moses commanding the people here. It says, And it shall be, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possesses it, and dwelleth therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land, that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come into the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers to give us. And the priest shall take the basket of thine hand, and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak, and say before the Lord thy God, A Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt, and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation, great and mighty and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us, and afflicted us, and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and with wonders. And he brought us unto this place and has given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God has given unto thee, and unto thine house, thou and the Levite, and the stranger that is among you. When thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thine increase the third year, which is a year of tithing, and has given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled. Then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house, and also have given them unto the Levite, and unto the stranger, to the fatherless, and to the widow. According to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded me, I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Look not down from thy holy habitation, look down from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I'll conclude there at this time. But, I just felt the Lord laid a message on my heart. It's not a message about tithing. in a way it is. But here very clearly, the children of Israel were to lay aside a portion. And in the third year, they were to give this portion to who? Anyone. Who were they to give this portion to? What's that? The Lord, yes. Definitely as an offering to the Lord. To the priest? Okay, that's number one. To the priest? Anyone else? The widows? The strangers? And the fatherless. And like I said, this message is not going to be on tithing, but God laid a message on my heart that I believe we do well in maybe shoring up in some areas, and me included. As I was studying for the message, the Lord was, I just seen needs in my own life in this particular area. So I'd like to talk this morning about the stranger, the fatherless, and the widows. The strangers, the fatherless, and the widows. This very clearly is brought out here that God takes special interest in those. God takes special interest, and you could include the Levite there, but I'm going to leave that out this morning and focus in on the stranger, the fatherless, and the widows. Just that we can take a good look at what is the heart of God towards these. And we heard Elmer this morning sharing about some of the fatherless, if you will. And so God takes special interest in those among us, in those who we relate to. I'd like to take a look at some of these aspects of church life in these areas, in people that we relate to in these given spheres here. I'm going to just read a few scriptures. You don't have to turn to them if you don't want to, but we see clearly God's heart towards these throughout. Some of these scriptures that I'm about to read. Psalms 146, verse 9. Psalms 146 says, "The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down." And then I'll turn to Isaiah 1:17. Isaiah 1:17. Here it says, "Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow." And then Jeremiah 7:6. There's two scriptures here in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 7, verse 6. "If you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever." And then scripture in two verses in Jeremiah 22. Jeremiah 22:3-5. "Thus saith the Lord, execute ye judgment and righteousness, and deliver the spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor, and do no wrong, do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, nor the widow, neither shed innocent blood in this place. For if ye do this thing indeed, then shall there enter in by the gates of this house kings sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, he and his servants and his people. But if you will not hear these words, I swear by myself, saith the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation." And we all know the scripture in James where it says, "To visit pure religion and undefiled is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." So I'd like to just start this morning. I'd like to start with the fatherless. I know in sequence there it's the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. But I'd like to start this morning with the fatherless, taking a good look at the fatherless. the fatherless, those who have no guide, no one to point out the way to them. Just recently, my wife and I, New Year's Day, we took out a couple, just friends of ours, and it was Michael and Pamela, who are among us here at times, and we took them out for a time of lunch together, and I just seen the, you know, where many, many children are in our nation, in our society, the fatherless. You know, many of these are a place they have no guide, no one to point out the way to them. And Michael was just sharing, you know, how that in this drug world, of course, he and his wife grew up in Philadelphia. And he was sharing how that, he was just sharing about these many fatherless children in the city. No one to point out the way. And these drug lords, these drug dealers, they get a hold of them and they'll use them as runners to take the drugs, you know, to those who they're distributing them to. And they'll use them as runners at an early age, 9 years old, 12 years old. There they are, fatherless. No one to guide them, no one to point out the way, and being taken advantage of. Michael was just sharing how that, you know, when these people that are on drugs and, you know, the drug epidemic we're facing in our nation, you know, there's many in this place of even some, you know, many that are overdosing and dying. And but he was just sharing how that these that are on, you know, these that are caught in this web of the drug world, you know, they're like I said, they're taken advantage of. But furthermore, when they get caught, Michael called it the game. He said, when they're in the game, everyone knows they're in the game. And it's a very dangerous game. When you're in the game, as long as you play the cards right, you know, you might come out all right. And there's a tremendous lore. There's a lure into this realm, you know, where the drug dealers, the high lord, drug lords and so forth, they have, they drive SUVs, they're decked out in jewelry and gold and glitter and they have soldiers, they have people protecting them. And there's a security there, that there's a sense of security that they have when they get into those high positions. But yeah, Michael was just sharing how that, you know, many of these that are caught in this web are fatherless. They're fatherless. They have no guide, no one to point out the way. And I just felt in my heart that I'd like to encourage all of you, especially you who are the ministry there in Lancaster, the LCM ministry. You know, I would like to encourage your hearts this morning. Another statistic I'd just like to bring out is, I heard a statistic of, I think it's 90% of prison inmates are at a place of where they had no father. Basically had no father in their lives. When I say fatherless, I'm looking at a father who maybe has not died. He's still living, but a father who wasn't in their lives. You get what I'm saying? He wasn't there for them. You know, when I think of these fatherless children, I think of these who are being taken advantage of. You know, these are ones who it says in, let me just turn there, in Matthew 18. These are ones who, it says, at one time in their lives, they had angels beholding them. They had angels that beheld them. There was an angel that was beholding this little one. Matthew 18. Verse 10, it says, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." You know, there's angels are. The warning is given. Do not despise one of these little ones. They have an angel. Angels are there beholding such an one. Such an one as little Ernest there. Such an one as Jonathan and your children. You know, your children have angels that are constantly beholding them before their father. And then it says, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So I'd just like to bring to bear upon our hearts, you who are, especially I think of you who are working in Lancaster there at the LCM ministry, just the tremendous ministry that you have. God takes special interest in those little ones. He takes special interest in the fatherless. And you might look at your ministry sometimes as unimportant, and maybe you look at the ministry in Greece and that's appealing to you. But I'd just like to appeal to some of your hearts as young people especially. God may be calling some of you to a committed ministry in Lancaster City to these children. You know, to where you recognize it's my calling to be in this ministry for the long haul. These children, they need guidance. They need direction. They need somebody to point out the way. They have no one. Their father's not there for them. That's God's heart for fathers, is that, you know, fathers are admonished to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Here they are, having no one. No one to point out the way. No one to bring the Word of God to bear upon their hearts. No one to share with them. This way is foolish. This is the way of fools. It will end in destruction. It will end in destroying your life. Or in bringing tremendous havoc into your life. So again, like I said, I'd like to encourage you that are at LCM and all of us for that matter, but my heart was just, I don't know, when I thought of these children and, you know, Brother Michael sharing how they get caught. Many of them end up getting killed in the game, what he calls the game. You know, they end up getting killed because the game is very dangerous. If you play the cards right, you might come out on top. But if you don't, play the game exactly the way that you should, or make a mistake, or, you know, many times your life ends up being taken. He was sharing different instances there in what he experienced there in Philadelphia. Besides that, these children, you know, I think of no one to guide their little feet into the way of peace. Into the way of peace. Into the way that there's a peaceable life. They're already used to drugs and crime and alcohol and sex. And, you know, in school they face the peer pressure of friends who want to involve them in all these things. They see crime on the streets. They see violence and filth on television. They have no one. And brothers and sisters, you are involved in ministry in the city. I just want to encourage your hearts. You have a very vital ministry into the lives of these little ones. And please never allow yourself to get into the place where you're just going through the motions. It's another Tuesday night. Another night to be in the city. Another night to, it's my obligation. It's my duty. But no heart behind the ministry that God has called you to. No real heart behind it. No real commitment. And again, I bring up that word commitment because I want to just encourage your hearts. You know, some ministries, Greece looks exciting, and God bless you, Manuel. I'm not downplaying Greece. But, you know, some ministries look exciting and glamorous maybe. More, you know, it seems like there's more action. But I just want to encourage you in the ministry God has called you to these little ones. Amen, Elmer? To these little ones. Orphans, some of them. But especially fatherless. God says, I take special note of the fatherless. Special note. Does vision, prayer, and burden still fill your life for these? Does it still fill your life? Do you breathe that when you go into the city? Into the ministry that God has called you to? Do you breathe the life of these little ones? And recognize they need me, or they need ministry. They need guidance. They need someone to point out the way. They need someone to sow the seeds of righteousness into their lives, their little lives. Lest Satan, and you know, I have to stop and think. You know, these are eternal souls. Eternal. Eternal souls that will end up in either one place or the other. Eternal. So take note, workers, take note as you minister to these children. They're eternal. They don't come to know Christ. They'll end up, we know where their end is. They sell themselves to the world, the flesh and the devil. We know their end. They're eternal. We also know that we have a light. And I love that. I love the name of your ministry, Light of Christ Ministries. You're to be a light. We know that the light overcomes darkness. We know that we all know that you have a tremendous opportunity to let your light shine into these lives. And thus bringing them out of darkness and guiding their feet into the way of peace and helping them to find their way in a walk with God, in a life that is productive, and a life that is full of the Spirit of God and walking in the way of righteousness and their eternal destination, heaven, to be with their Lord in Christ forever. Yeah, and I'd just like to encourage us all to greatly love and care for these. In our midst, we see sometimes those who don't have a father in their lives. Right in our very own midst here. You know, let's take special note. The fatherless. Those who don't have a father in their lives. Maybe their father's gone. Maybe he's just not in their lives. God's heart is that we greatly love and care for those in our midst. In that way. You know, I almost invariably find those who don't have fathers in their lives, almost invariably, I find them having struggles or either needing some guidance in just the simple things of life sometimes. They need special attention and care at times. The fatherless. Let us deeply and with heartfelt love care for such. Okay, I'll go on to the widows. I'd like to include those who don't have a husband who's in their lives. You know, maybe you're a single mother and your husband is still alive, your husband's still living. I'd like to include you in this category. Those who don't have a husband in their lives, single mothers, etc., or even elderly unmarried sisters among us, do we take time? Do we take time for them? Giving them special attention and care. Again, the widow. God includes the widow. The fatherless, the widow, and the stranger. The widow. Paying them special attention. You know, recently I took our cell group out to our cottages. It was over Christmas. We did just 3 days or so before Christmas. We did some Christmas caroling out there at the cottages. And I was just amazed that, and I know when we minister to others, we're ministered to ourselves, and the Spirit of God just flows through us often. And that was our experience that evening. I mean, the Spirit of God was just present and presided over the evening. And here were these older women. Some of them lived by themselves in these cottages, and they came outside. Often they would come outside their door. It was a lovely evening. It was rather warm. And so they would come and stand outside as we sang Christmas carols. And tears just streaming down their faces many times. Feeling loved and cared for. You could tell. The Spirit of God was there ministering to their spirit. And they were being ministered to. So let us take time with those among us who have no husband, no wife, remembering to pay them special attention. Special attention. That's my heart for these, that we take note, take time, as God's heart is we brought out the heart of God here this morning in various scriptures. This past Friday night, we took my wife's uncle out for dinner, and he lost his wife about a year ago, right, Barb? Were you at there? About a year ago, yeah. He lost his wife about a year ago, and we took him out to dinner, and along with my wife's parents. And so he's a widower, and he's Amish, and my wife and I, for some reason, we have kind of taken a special interest in him. And through the years, we had a friendship with the family there. And I still remember the funeral of his wife. My wife, we were out there at the gravesite, and he looked into the eyes of my wife. And their eyes met. And he knew, there was no doubt in his mind, that my wife cared for him and loved him. Anyway, we took time this last Friday night again to just show him special care and love and attention. He just loved it. He just loved it. We took him out to eat, and then we went into his home for a little while there. He's 80-some years old, 84 years old, and it was just a joy. It was a joyful evening. I mean, I came away just so blessed myself. Just seeing the joy on his countenance, on his face. He had a stroke about I think it was before his wife passed away. He had a mini stroke or a major stroke. I'm not quite sure. But sometimes he's a little forgetful. But that evening, he just seemed so bright. I mean, he just seemed like, the evening atmosphere just caused his spirit to rise. And he was just fully engaged. His heart was fully involved in the evening. So let us take time to reach out to these, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let us love and care deeply. Love and care deeply. You know, really showing we love and care. You know, sometimes, and again, this spoke to me. You know, sometimes maybe among us here or maybe otherwise, I meet an elderly person and I'm afraid sometimes I give them the message, I'm kind of ready to move on. You know, I shake their hands, but in my mind, I want to connect with another brother or sister and across the sanctuary or across the aisle Sometimes I'm afraid we give that message, or at least I have. People know if we really care or if we're just kind of going through the motions. They know that. You know, they know if we really care from the depth of our heart that there's real, deep love and care. Or whether we're just kind of going through the motions of greeting them, wanting to move on to the next person. Okay, let's go on to the stranger. The stranger. Let's turn our Bibles to Leviticus 19 for this. The stranger. Leviticus chapter 19. I'll start reading in verse 33. It says here, "And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." You know, every day, most of us meet strangers. I mean, some of us meet strangers nearly every day. But here it especially brings out the stranger that dwells among you. It says, the stranger that dwells among you, let him be as one born in your own house. It says you're to love him that way. It says you're to love him as yourself. And then he reminds the children of Israel, he said, you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You were strangers there. You lived in a strange land that was not your own. You were under the rulership of Egypt. You were under the you were counted as strangers among the Egyptians. And it reminds them that you were once strangers. And how God befriended you, how God chose you, how God paid special interest in you. I am the Lord your God that brought you out of Egypt. I paid special interest in you while you were a stranger. You know, that's the heart of God. And as we think of strangers, you know, like I said, we get in contact with strangers, we get to know them, and they begin to get to know us. And in Leviticus says, when this happens, we're to begin to treat them as one born in our own house. And I don't know how that's exactly all worked out, but we're to have that kind of heart toward a stranger. The biggest thing that I see is entering into their lives. You know, sometimes it's risky, sometimes it's even costly. You know, I've had a few strangers who I thought were trustworthy and they took me across. You know, sometimes that happens. But God tells us to love the stranger that dwells among us. So this morning, I'd just like to bring that to bear upon our hearts. You know, the Word of God brings out that no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. You know, here God says we're to love our others even as we love ourselves. No man yet ever hated his own flesh. It says in Ephesians. No man yet ever hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. And we are to love the stranger even as we love ourselves. Loving him, caring for him, involving ourselves in his life. Do we love and care for them, brother and sister? You know, Paul says, he said this to the church of Thessalonica. He says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. You know, Paul did not just impart him the gospel. He didn't just impart the word of God and go on his way, but he imparted his own soul. And I'm not sure what that all meant, but I can see Paul reaching out in just various ways, you know, reaching out to involve himself in meeting the needs of those around him, meeting the needs of the church there that he was ministering to. I love the example of Christ feeding the 5,000. You know, they were strangers to him. The 5,000 were strangers to him. They did not, he didn't know most of them. But he took time at the end of 3 days after they had not eaten to break the loaves and the fishes and, you know, the fishes and loaves that were multiplied. He took time to make sure that their needs were met. That they went home satisfied and their needs taken care of. So I say some of this to, you know, to help us. There are strangers that come into our midst. There are strangers that we meet who come into our very midst here. In our church life as a body here. And there are strangers that have come and have at times not felt the welcoming warmth that a body is to express itself in. I've heard those comments. You know, I've heard a brother and sister recently. They were here among us. And I heard them say, you know, when they were a certain gathering with the church body, with some of the church families here, you know, they didn't feel like special attention was being given them. And I just told them, brother and sister, I know that our church is not, they are not holding you at arm's length. They are not holding you. They are not upset. They are not frustrated with you. But I believe we're a busy church and we are used to visitors, and sometimes we don't pay special attention to another visitor. And I'd just like to bring that to bear upon our hearts, that we remember the stranger, the visitor that enters in among us. We take time to give them a welcome, to give them a warmth of embrace, that they feel the welcoming Spirit of Christ within the body here. Within the church. That maybe this is the first time they ever came through the doors of a church. You know, that we take time to welcome and enable them to feel the warmth of love that a body should be giving out to a visitor or a stranger. Sometimes I've heard a few other comments. I hear these things at times, you know, they were not a very warm church, or no one greeted me, or no one noticed I was there. You know, things of that nature. You know, let's remember the stranger. We're to treat him as one born in our own house, especially if they dwell among us. They begin to, you know, if we begin to get to know them, they begin to get to know us, and so people feel this. The Word of God, as we have seen, brings out the strangers are to be given special attention. Along with the fatherless and widow, strangers are to be given special attention. And that was the context in Exodus there, or in Deuteronomy where I read. You know, every 3 years they laid up tithes and They laid up tithes for 3 years, and then at the end of 3 years, they would distribute these among the fatherless, the widows, and also the priests, but the strangers as well. This was distributed. These are people God's heart was that they be given special attention. So let's take time to warmly reach out and greet the stranger. You know, part of it, brother and sister, is being on church on time, that we can do that. Amen? Part of it is being on church on time, that we can reach out to those and welcome them. Part of it is just paying attention, taking note. And part of it is walking in the Spirit, you know, most of all, I should say, it's walking in the Spirit, so that any time God wants to use you, use me, in a stranger's life, He can do so. You know, we read that portion of Scripture this morning. It wasn't in our Sunday discipleship class lesson, but it was a part of the chapter. It says a steward, so much that a steward who is given rulership over a household, he's counted a wise and faithful servant if he is prepared at all times to give a portion of meat to those who are under him. And we all, in due season, it says a portion of meat in due season. And we all have our sphere of influence. That's what I'd like us to see there. We all have our sphere of influence that God has given to you and I. You only know what that sphere is, and I know. He's given us spheres of influence, and that is the sphere of, that is the realm that God desires us to be faithful in. Giving a portion of meat in due season. Sometimes it's a widow, sometimes it's a fatherless, and sometimes it's a stranger. He desires us to reach out to and deeply love and care for. You know, strangers have been profoundly changed or affected through someone paying special attention. I mean, I'm serious. I I can't think of any story right now, but I know there's tremendous stories out there. You know, just simply somebody touching their life, a stranger, someone who took time to deeply love and care and reach out and touch another's life, the life of a stranger. Romans 12 on this point yet. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. One thing I was convicted with as I read this little portion of Scripture is, and it's maybe a little bit of a sidetrack, but and yet it isn't. You know, we had a stranger text us just the other evening asking for prayer. And I was convicted. You know, sometimes when I get that prayer request, I shelf it a little bit and think, well, we'll pray for this individual before I go to bed, or in my personal devotions, I'll pray for him or her. And here it says, continue an instant in prayer. And my brother Paul has been a good example of that. You know, when I ask, occasionally I've called Paul and asked for prayer, he does it right over the phone. I mean, he'll pray for me on the spot. And I think, you know, that's some of what, again, giving a portion of meat in due season, that we take time and interest in people who ask for prayer. They have something on their heart, a burden that they want to see God come through in. And sometimes it's a stranger who comes our way, and we are endeavoring to disciple, to bring along, to minister, and part of the ministry to their lives is being instant in prayer. Instant. When they have a prayer burden on their hearts, that we take interest, we show care and love by involving ourselves in ministry to their spirit through prayer. But also other ways, you know, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. So young people, again, I'm pointing, but to all of us, you know, youth Bible schools upon us, and just like to encourage us in this matter of welcoming the stranger. You know, that these young people that come through this Bible school, they feel the welcoming of our presence and of the presence of Christ within our lives. There's a welcome. There's an inviting of the stranger. There's a deep love and care for him or her. You know, some of these young people, I'm sure they'll have desires, and they may share some of those desires. They'll have struggles, some of them, taking time to listen, ponder, and pray. Taking time to deeply involve yourself. Involving yourself in his or her life. Involving yourself. Saying, letting him know that you genuinely care. You genuinely care for the stranger that has just entered in and is going and will be among us. So can we shore up in this area, brothers and sisters? I don't like when I hear those statements of, you know, our church is uncaring or not warm, or we're not really a warm church, or I went away and no one really greeted me. I don't like those statements. I want to be known as a church. We're called Charity Christian Fellowship. Let's display that to the stranger who comes in among us. Amen? That we can be that, that they can sense that warmth of love and care extended to them. Okay, in closing, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 26. I love God's promises. I mean, God's commandments, you know. And by the way, this is a very serious commandment. I mean, as we saw in Jeremiah, you know, Jeremiah brought out in, I think I read in chapter 7 there that, anyway, I won't go back there, but there was warnings given to God if the children of Israel would oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. There are also blessings that come with heeding to those commands of the Lord. Amen? There's blessings that come along with heeding every commandment of the Lord for that matter. But here in Deuteronomy 26, verse 16, it says, and I'll read the rest of the chapter from where I concluded earlier. Verse 16, "This day the Lord thy God has commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord that this day to be thy God and to walk in His ways." And I see God saying, you know, you have avouched God to be your God. And this is part of walking that out, is extending yourself to the fatherless, the widow, and the stranger. Anyway, "Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God and to walk in His ways and to keep His statutes and His commandments and His judgments, and to hearken unto His voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be His peculiar people, as He has promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all His commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which He has made, in praise and in name and in honor, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as He has spoken." So here God's promise is, if we meet some of the conditions of His commands, He says, "I'll make you. You've avouched the Lord your God. You've avouched this day the Lord to be your God and to walk in His ways. And the Lord has avouched thee." I love that. You know, the Lord has avouched thee to be His people, His peculiar people, as He has promised thee. And thou, then He says, and that thou shouldest keep His commandments, and He says, "and to make thee high above all nations, which He has made in praise and in name and in honor, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God." You know, it's in the context of the fatherless, the widow, and the stranger. It's in the context of keeping these commandments, reaching out to such, reaching out to the fatherless, to the widow, to the stranger. Do we want to experience this in our lives? You know, having that experience in those, and you know, that shouldn't necessarily be our motive, but you know, God does bring promises with His commandments. You know, He brings promises as we meet those conditions. He promises to bless us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So I just thought this morning I bring this message to bear upon our hearts. It's just been on my heart, you know, just as a message to our hearts as a congregation, that we remember such among us. We remember the fatherless, taking special note and interest in their lives. We remember the widow who experiences loneliness. You know, there's days when she or he experiences loneliness. And that we pay special attention to such. And the stranger who walks through these doors, or who we come in contact with, you know, the stranger who kind of enters in through these doors in trepidation, you know, kind of maybe a little insecure, wondering, you know, what's this church going to be like? What are these people going to be like? And I just like to bring to bear upon our hearts, you know, let's not take for granted the stranger. Again, we're involved in across the seas and other cultures everywhere, Lancaster City, Africa, and Greece, and we're so used to the stranger and the visitor, I think we forget those who walk through our doors sometimes. And I'd just like to encourage us to pay special note to these as well. God sent them our way. They came through these doors. And God's sovereignty, He knew they would walk through these doors. And God most likely wants to do something in their lives through us. Let's remember that, all of us. Young people, Bible school coming up. But not just, let's not just forget it after Bible school's gone. A young person who enters through these doors, let's take special note and attention. A visitor, an elderly person, whoever it might be. So amen, that was my message, the fatherless, the widow, and the strangers.
Thanks, Mel, for that reminder to us all. I appreciated that. I thought about, you know, what Wes shared in the worship. Remember what he said? He said, the highest form of worship is imitation. And today we heard the heart of God. This is the way God is. He cares about strangers. He cares about widows. He cares about the fatherless. And isn't that our motivation? We want to be like Him. We want people to see Him. We want people when they come to this church to feel Him and sense Him. So I appreciate that. You know, that's why we need the Word of God. We need to hear it week by week, day by day, to remind us of all these type of things. Maybe you have a testimony here this morning. Maybe you were a stranger and somebody reached you, or maybe you were convicted today. Does anybody have anything you feel the Lord would have you to share? Just take a minute if there's somebody. Okay, one up here. And was there another one? Yeah, over here. Okay, go ahead, Karen.
Yeah, I was really thankful for this message and been convicted of this in my own life. And I've sinned in this. And I just really want God to break me and just give me love without partiality. And there's been many times I've done stuff and I realized later that I did not love, and it was just empty. It was like a noise to God. It was just some clanging. And I think people feel that when we just do stuff out of obligation. They feel that. And I have just come to the conclusion that I can't actually put on this thing or do this myself. I can't. I have to go before the Lord and ask God to break me and show me how I can have just an overwhelming love for the people. And I think that's what He really wants to do with us. We can go and meet the stranger, but without love, it's just a lot of just nothing.
Good point. Thank you for sharing. God's working in your heart.
I was very blessed with the message. And it's so easy for us to think, you know, if a stranger comes through the door, well, somebody else knows him, that's why he's here, and somebody else is taking care of him. But that's not always the case. And I had to think of Jesus said, you know, there's many going to come to Him in that day and say, where have we seen you as a stranger and didn't take you in? And that's one thing that He says to the ones on the right. I was a stranger and you took me in.
That's right. Thank you for, that's a good scripture there. Whoever? Somebody here? Yeah.
This is very difficult, but I would like... I just succeed in tragedy. I would like your prayers.
Prayers for what?
Just succeed in tragedy.
Like when bad things happen to you?
Yeah.
To have victory?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, amen. We'll pray for you today. Okay, Mom.
When I came here, I want to commend you for the love that I felt and the caring that reached out to me And it meant a lot, and it made me realize how necessary it is for me to reach out to those that I don't know, even though I don't know them, to speak anyway, with a love and a concern. And I want to thank you for showing that love to me.
Amen.
8 years ago when we first walked through the doors of strangers, that is one thing that really drew us to this church, was the warmth and the love we felt. But I've come to realize we also as strangers need to accept that love and warmth. If we can't accept that, then it becomes an empty thing for us.
Okay. Thank you for sharing. I think probably all of us have a little conviction in our hearts. I know I do. That's a good thing. That's the Holy Spirit wanting to make us more like Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.